there still remains today a mystery in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right at the very beginning of the Scriptures, we have Eve. Eve is being spoken to by God, and God tells her that a day will come when one of your offspring will crush the head of Satan. This is a message that soon the Messiah would come. Little did she know that it would be thousands of years before the Son of God came to this earth as a little babe in a manger. And as we go through the Old Testament, we discover time and time and time again little messages tucked away in the writings of David and Isaiah and other Old Testament writers, reminding us that someday the Messiah would come. He would come with a purpose to bring salvation. Salvation to a world that is in darkness. A world that is hopelessly lost. That someday God would send His beloved Son. And so generation after generation of families wondered if just maybe that little baby they were holding in their arms would be that promised Messiah. And many mothers sat there wondering if that child they held in their arms would be the Son of God. And so we have throughout the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, men and women that we call faith walkers. These are men and women that believed in the depths of their hearts that a day would come when the destiny of this world would be changed, and it would be changed by one individual. That would be the Messiah, the promised Son of God. I wonder this morning how many of you would walk a mile to observe a child's birth. Anybody here would walk a mile? How many of you would walk 5 miles? Okay? The guys' hands are starting to go down on the women. 10? 20 miles? That'd take a while. 20 miles would take you just about all day, at least at my pace. It'd take you a while. How about 100 miles? Are there any hands for 100 miles? How many of you would walk 100 miles to see the birth of a child? Okay, we have one taker. Hallelujah. Bless you, little one. How many of you would, in your wildest imagination, ever think of walking 500 miles to see the birth of a child you didn't even know? Or weren't even related to? My wife and I last summer drove for 2 days. Now, we drove. We didn't walk. Needless to say, if I'd let my wife go, she would have walked, though she would have at least attempted that. We drove all the way to Walla Walla, Washington. Everybody goes, where? Walla Walla, Washington, to see the birth of our firstborn grandson. We wouldn't have missed that for anything. If the car had broken down in Hawthorne, Nevada, we would have walked the rest of the way. It was so important. It was so vital for us to see that first smile and the sparkle in the eye of that little tiny baby that we would have done anything. Mary and Joseph, they walked from their humble home in Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. And they went from their home to a place where they were, in some ways, they were strangers, and they found no place to lay their head except a manger. But by faith, they believed that God had set them on that journey. The shepherd boys who on that cold night were out on the hillsides herding their sheep, huddled around a fire, they heard the angels sing in the heavens, "Glory to God on high and peace on earth." And good tidings to all. And you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And by faith, they walked. They walked those miles down into Bethlehem to find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. But by far, I am amazed. I am astounded and I'm amazed that the wise men, they call them the Magi, men who really knew very little about this Messiah, men who were strangers to the teachings of the Old Testament, at least it seems they were willing to travel for weeks, yes, 4 months, probably, maybe even for years, across expanse of desert and mountains and hills and dangers and robbers and all sorts of dangers that would have befallen them, they were willing by faith to walk and follow the star to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lying in a manger, in the arms of a very simple, very common, very plain woman by the name of Mary. I wonder if they were disappointed. They had traveled so far, they even went out of their way to ask the king, Herod, if he knew about this baby, this Messiah, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who has been waited for thousands of years. And he hadn't even heard of this child king being born in his city. And so you can imagine the Magi going from door to door and knocking and asking people standing on the street corners, do you know where this Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, in the tribe of Judah? Where can we find him? Where might he be? At what address might he be located? Is it possible that his father and his mother are kings? All they could say was, follow the star. And so they followed that star by faith. And they found baby Jesus there, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, in the most unbelievable conditions. And as they stood there, at first I'm sure they must have blinked, because I'm sure they expected to find this baby surrounded by all kinds of gifts and people just swarming in to see this Messiah, this promised King of Kings. Oh no. The only ones standing around were the shepherd boys and the flocks that were quietly chewing their cud there in that manger. And there was Jesus, lowly Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. There he was in all his simplicity and his humility, lying there in a manger. He was the one that all generations had looked forward to save them from their sins. We don't know an awful lot about the Magi. We can speculate. These men were highly educated men, men of science, men who observed the constellations, who searched the heavens for stars, men who enjoyed the studying of the rotations of the various planets and solar system. Men who were very learned. We know that they came from the east. And if you go east from Bethlehem, there are millions of different peoples living east of Bethlehem. There are many, many countries, divided countries. There are many, many kings. There are many groups of individuals living east of Bethlehem. We're not really sure. They may have come from Babylon. They might have come from Persia. They might have even come from as far away as segments of Europe, or even farther, they might have even come from Asia, from China. We have no idea. We're not given the details. We're not told exactly where they came from. We just know they came from the east. They came a long way. They walked by faith a long, long way to find the Savior. I'd also like to suggest that these wise men, these magi, had access to the Word of God, the Scriptures, and they read the passages in the Old Testament that foretold the coming of the Messiah, the promised Son of God. And I'm sure they, as they studied those passages of Scriptures, their hearts were warmed. And by faith, they followed that star, no matter how long it took. They followed that star until they found the promised Messiah. How far did you say you would walk to see the birth of a child? 1 mile? 10 miles? 100 miles? 500 or 1,000? Would you spend your entire life by faith searching for that one promise, that hope of eternal life? I suggest this morning that that is what each of us are doing. We are traveling, we are journeying, we are walking the walk of faith. And when we discover that little babe, when we discover Jesus, the Son of God, we are then in the presence of eternal hope. The hope of all nations, the hope of all humanity, the hope of eternity found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's interesting that if you look at this account a little closer, recorded for us in Matthew, the Magi proceeded came to the home that says in verse 11, chapter 2 of Matthew. On coming to the house, they saw the child was with his mother Mary. And what is the first thing they did? They bowed down and they worshiped him. Now, wait a minute. This child is a stranger. They had never seen his face before. They had only heard that he would come. They had only read the scriptures that promised his soon coming. But by faith, they believed that this child in such a humble setting was indeed the Son of God. They bowed down and worshiped him. And so, as we come into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we acknowledge the presence of His Spirit here this morning, we bow down and we worship Him. And then the second thing that they proceeded to do after they had acknowledged Him as the promised Messiah, after they had acknowledged Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they gave gifts. Now, you have to do a lot of reading between the lines here, and you have to do a lot of looking into the history and sociological backgrounds and historical backgrounds. Most theologians and most commentaries suggest, of course, that these men were extremely wealthy men. They're not sure if they were kings, magicians, if they were astrologers, astronomers. They're not sure exactly what all they were. They might have been all of the above. But they were men of great wealth. And men of great wealth did not travel across the world, across the country, by camel caravan without bringing an army or bodyguards with them. The Silk Trail, which is well known today, in fact it still exists, you can trace it all across the Middle East. It all converged on Jerusalem. and you can trace it all the way to China. And throughout history, many people have traveled that silk trail, they call it the silk trail that goes all over the Middle East. These men also knew that if they were going to travel and they were going to find the Messiah, they needed to bring bodyguards with them because they were carrying gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I can't imagine that they would have traveled that far without having some protection from the robbers along the way. And so when they entered this little city, it was no small spectacle. These men had armed guards, and Herod had a reason to worry. What in the world are these guys doing here with all their soldiers? And so it did raise an awareness as to what was going on, not just the fact that these were men of wealth and men of education, men from other countries, but they also brought with them their army to protect them. And they gave gifts. They placed gifts at the feet of Jesus. Not just something you would buy in an ordinary grocery store, something that you would have to go to Neiman Marcus or to one of those fancy places to buy. They brought enough gifts. It's been suggested that Joseph and Mary lived on those gifts for many, many, many years. They brought the very best that they could afford, and they placed them at the feet of Jesus. I ask you this morning, what have you brought Jesus this morning? Do you know what Jesus really wants for his birthday? Do you know what he really wants? Not gold and frankincense and myrrh. He wants the most important gift that you can ever give him, and that is your heart. You say, well, that's easy. I've already given my heart to Jesus. Have you really? How much time do you spend at the feet of Jesus in comparison to all the other things that you do throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year? Jesus wants your heart. He wants your life. They brought their best. I would like to suggest that these wise men, because of their passion, because of their study of the scriptures, because of the knowledge that they had, when they came and they saw that baby in the manger, all the scriptures that they had studied, everything that they had heard, all converged on that very moment. And at that very moment, I would like to suggest that those three wise men gave their hearts to Jesus right there in that smelly old manger. That's really what Jesus wants. He wants your heart. Can you give your heart to him? How far would you walk to give your heart to Jesus? A mile? 10 miles? 100 miles? 500 miles? 1,000 miles? What passion drives you to the feet of Jesus? What is it that brings you to this place, to this moment, to this point in time? Is Jesus calling you this morning? Is he calling you to not just give of your time and your gifts and your experience of your talents, but to give of your heart? These men, after they had given their gifts to Jesus, were warned by a dream not to go back and see Herod. When your life is led by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you become a faith walker, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, from that moment on, your life will be led day by day by the guiding of the Holy Spirit. These men were led by the power of the Holy Spirit to leave that city another way so that baby Jesus would not be harmed. They followed the words of the Holy Spirit. They followed the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And they left that place. And they took that message, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, that little babe born in Bethlehem, they took that message and they spread it far and near. How do we know that? Well, archaeologists, historians have told us that there are bits and pieces of the story found in many different cultures. In fact, there are even there's a possibility that there were churches established or groups of people who worshiped the living God in various countries so far away from Bethlehem that the only way that message could have been spread might have been through these three wise men who took it back to their cities, back to their homeland, back to their homes, and taught the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. As we prepare our hearts and our minds, our lives and our families for December 25, which is coming very soon this week, let us not forget that in all the hustle and all the bustle of Bethlehem, there is a baby. A baby that is born, that was born, so that you and I could have eternal life. By faith, how far would you walk to see the birth of Jesus?